Welcome to the DMSG Healthcare Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Hadley, founder and CEO of the Denver Medical Study Group. It's my pleasure today to visit with Dr. Gerald Zarlingo, chairman and CEO of the Copic Insurance Company. Dr. Zarlingo, thank you for joining me today. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. And first off, thank you for having me today. This is a great opportunity. And so I appreciate that. I'm native of Colorado, born, raised here, went to undergrad at CSU, CU Med School, OBGYN by training at St. Joe's Hospital in Denver, and then practiced obstetrics and gynecology for 32 years, primarily out of Rose Hospital and St. Joseph Hospital in Denver. Came over to Copic in 2019, January 1st, 2019, and been at Copic for the last 4 years now, almost.
I've got to ask you a question. There appears to be a nickname that you have, and no one can tell me what the origination is. Is it Dr. Z or Z? How did that come about?
Well, when I was in high school, I was originally, everybody called me Czar, and then that got shortened to Z, and from college on, I've been called Z, and so it's just kind of followed me around. So that's how that started.
Well, when you left private practice as an OBGYN, and became the CEO at Copic, what were you thinking about that transition?
Well, it was a wonderful opportunity for me. And I had originally come to Copic way back when as a faculty consultant for our claims committee meetings. Basically, the claims committee meeting is where we get to together with a group of doctors in a room and we review pending cases that are on the docket at Copic. Did that for several years, and then the opportunity came to be on the board. Ted Clark, my predecessor, asked me if I would be interested in being on the board, and I went through a short vetting process and had the opportunity to come on the board, and that was probably around 2009, and was on the board until Ted announced that he was going to be retiring. And so he had said to the folks on the board, if you're interested in applying for my job, you know, start to think about that and throw your hat in the ring. I did. And then in March of 2018, it was announced that I would be the successor to Ted. So the reason that I put my hat in the ring in the transition was pretty straightforward. Copic is, as we can talk a little bit more about Copic, it's an organization that's really, the roots are patient safety risk management. And when you talk about risk management, that'd be the same thing as in the hospital world, in practice world of quality improvement. What can we do to improve the quality of medicine? And that's really was just an easy transition for me because I had spent a majority of my career doing that in administrative roles while I was in practice in the world of obstetrics. So it was really a pretty easy fit for me and something that I've had a passion about my whole career.
You know, I was going to ask you, was the transition from a physician provider role to CEO of a health services organization like Copic a difficult transition? Sounds like it wasn't at all.
Yeah, you know, the hardest part was probably the biggest transition was the routine you get into, you know, doing something for 32 years. And I was very fortunate. I did not leave medicine because I was tired of medicine. I was burned out on medicine. I was, you know, at the end of my career, I really left to pursue this opportunity. So when I came over to this world, I was having to deal with the reality of missing practice. And I really enjoyed practicing medicine, loved patient care, and particularly enjoyed, you know, my time in the operating room. And so really that part was probably the biggest adjustment that I had to make, was leaving the old world and coming to the new world. Coming into Copic, the culture in this organization is amazing, and the people were so supportive and really just very, very, very welcoming to me coming into this new role. And so that was very easy on the Copic side. And then, as I said, you know, getting to participate in patient safety risk management now across the spectrum of medicine, not just limited to obstetrics and gynecology, that was even, you know, that much more of a benefit for me.
Did you ever think about slipping out and delivering a baby or doing some surgery?
Well, in the first year that I was in practice, I actually did go and catch a couple of babies, you know, that were past patients of mine. I still occasionally will go into the operating room with one of my partners and help them with a cesarean section or a surgery. And I really enjoy that when I can kind of go back there. It's just like, you know, putting on an old pair of slippers. Very comfortable and really a very enjoyable experience for me when I can do that.
Well, that's great. Did you have a vision for Copic when you became the CEO, or did that develop as you became more familiar with your new role there?
So the vision was really, I could kind of just, it was like passing a baton. I think the first thing that would be paramount for everybody to understand would be a little bit about how Copic was born. Copic was born in the early 80s, like most of similar companies across the country. We were a Colorado-centric organization born out of the Colorado Medical Society, and it was really because we had to do something to counter the liability crisis that was going on. There were three primary carriers at the time in Colorado that just notified physicians we're no longer going to provide liability insurance. And my dad was one of those physicians. And I remember when he got the letter that they said, at the end of the month, you will no longer have malpractice insurance. So Copic was formed by a group of doctors that said, well, we don't want this to ever happen to us again. So we're going to form our own company. So Colorado Physicians Insurance Company is what the acronym COPIC stands for. That was also an opportunity for physicians to say, we're going to sell insurance, but at the heart of the matter is going to be the mission of this organization, which is to improve medicine in the communities we serve. So if you open up anything Copic, you'll see at someplace on any screenshot, anything, better medicine, better lives. We bleed that mission. And as I said, we have a very, very robust patient safety risk management department that really, when we insure a group, we get into their world and see where we can help them reduce risk. Because if you reduce risk, you're going to reduce your liability. So the vision for the company was kind of set for me. And when I came on board, you know, we continued to push that mission. We continued to believe in that mission. And we continue to look at every decision we make at Copic to make sure that it satisfies that mission.
You know, you've been there as the CEO for almost 4 years now, and you've gone through the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, in the past 2 years. Did that have an impact on your mission or vision for Copic?
Yeah, I think that it didn't have necessarily an impact on bleeding the mission, because it was still about trying to help docs. Maybe a little bit different in docs and hospitals, a little bit different in terms of how we went about helping docs and hospitals. I mean, literally, you know, trying to just help them get resources, lobbying the governors in the states that we're, involved in providing insurance in to try to get immunity, trying to help advance the, you know, crisis issues that came up in terms of the practice of medicine at the time. So in terms of the vision itself, still very focused on medicine, still very focused on helping doctors, just was not the situation where, you know, we could get out and be right in their world and help them. And so that part of reality was hard. It was really hard for the docs in the organization to feel like you're watching a war go on, but you can't, you know, be part of it other than being on the sideline.
You know, Copic, as you described, was originally just here in Colorado, as I understand it. And how has that changed during your tenure?
Yes. So as we were, just before I came on board, as we were looking at the company from the board standpoint, so I was a board member at the time, we really came very close to merging Copic with a company who is in the southern part of the United States. That merger at the last minute did not go through, and Copic really looked at the organization and said, you know, we can't survive as just a Colorado company. And at that time, we were also in Nebraska. We had started going to Nebraska as a second state, but we really had to expand and start to say, we need to have a geographic distribution that would allow us to continue to grow. So the focus of the company really took on the region around Colorado and the surrounding states around Colorado. And we're involved in, really, we talk about 12 states that we're admitted in, and we like to consider our core market. That actually is expanding a little bit more to maybe 15 states, but it's really right in the belly of the United States. It's the mid portion of the United States. It's Minnesota, the Dakotas, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Utah, you know, Arizona, Wyoming, you know, it's the states that surround Colorado and Iowa and Nebraska, as I mentioned. And so that's really where our core market is. So we set a goal to say we were going to try to become a dominant carrier for that region of the United States. And we've had, you know, tremendous growth in the last 3 years doing that.
You know, as I listen to you describe how you've expanded into other states, the question comes up that we addressed at the Denver Medical Study Group, because we're in 28 different states now. Will you ever change the name of Copic?
Yeah, gosh, great question. We've had that conversation. Right now, I'd say the short answer is no, but it is a conversation that has hit the radar screen. And it's a double-edged sword, right? Because we're so branded and so well-known as Copic that, you know, we try to stick with it, because that's the reality of the name. So we work very hard to make people realize we're not a Colorado company. I mean, as I said, our growth is, you know, when I started this job, January, end of 2018, January 1st, 2019, we were just under 10,000 insured physicians, about 120 hospitals. We're now over 20,000 physicians that we insure and over 250 hospitals. So at the end of the day, we've had some significant growth, as I've said, and that growth has occurred in our region, not in Colorado.
You know, there are a lot of things going on in healthcare these days with the workforce shortages, inflation, flat reimbursement rates, private equity investor involvements, other organizations like Amazon, Walmart, and Walgreens getting into healthcare. How will these things, along with hospital closures and financial losses and physician burnout, affect Copic's business?
That's a great question. And it's certainly, that is probably the number one thing on our radar screen, the biggest dot on our radar screen that we're looking at and trying to keep a step ahead. As I said, our good fortune is we moved into other states. In doing that, we have learned to and have acquired large healthcare systems in other states. Along with those healthcare systems come a number of doctors, right? So we pick up the hospital and the physicians both. And that's been one way that we've been able to maintain our presence in the market. We have not lost physicians. Our retention is very high, and we've been very fortunate, knock on wood, that we have not lost physicians or hospitals to competitive groups very often. I mean, it's very, very rare that that's what happens. We have lost insureds to, as you pointed out, employment, private equity, places where we can't have access to provide insurance to them. So we constantly look at how we're going to stay ahead of that game and continue to be involved in that, because that really and truly is probably one of the biggest, I don't want to use the word threats, but challenges would be a better word that Copic will need to stay ahead of and deal with.
Yeah, a challenge becomes an opportunity, doesn't it?
Right. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. One last question for you, Dr. Z. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, medicine is changing. It certainly has its challenge. We look at some of the other opportunities outside of patient safety risk management or providing insurance as ways that we can continue to get in our communities and help. An example is what you've dealt with, I'm sure, in terms of the professionalism in medicine and some of the challenges of social media. It's one of those things where you just, you get in, you use it, and then pretty soon you sit there and say, gosh, it's got some consequences. So, you know, those are areas that we continue to look at, but partnering with organizations like yours and Copic and, other healthcare organizations, I really think is critical. Not any one of us is going to win this game by ourselves. And so the message I would say is that the more that you stay involved in whatever organization you have the opportunity to be involved in, I think the better for medicine.
Well, I thank you so much for your time today. And as one of our podcast interviewees or guests said, keep chasing what matters, Dr. Z.
That's a great statement. And listen, you guys take care. And I really have enjoyed this. Thank you for having me.
You bet. My pleasure.